Lisa Lanier, our official attorney, is on the line. Segment is called Lawyer Up, so we have three good legal cases that Lisa can figure out for us. And we wanted to ask about the gun laws of North Carolina. Good morning, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Thank you. You may have heard by now, and how long you've been up, about the shooting in a theater in Lafayette, Louisiana last night. Yet another one of these. And unfortunately, you know, it's all too common these days. So we had a call about 30 minutes ago. Guy said, you know, I don't worry about being in a theater because I carry my gun into a theater. In fact, he said, I was in the theater seeing this exact same movie last night here in town, and I had my gun on me, so I never worry about that kind of thing. I can protect myself. Then, 10 minutes later, a different caller said, that's illegal, because if you buy a ticket to a football game or a movie or what have you, you're not allowed to have a gun on you. And we've had a lot of discussion about that. What is the exact law? Can I buy a ticket to a theater and have my gun, if I've got my concealed carry permit, on me?
You know, I think that what controls a lot of times is whether or not the place that you are entering allows you to carry your concealed weapon, because a lot of times the ticket itself or the establishment itself will say no concealed weapons allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably what controls. I'm not certain about any specific. I don't recall any specific language in the statute about ticket sales or movie theaters. It has more to do with where alcohol is sold or where that sort of activity
takes
place.
And of course, this is on a state by state basis. Obviously, there's no federal gun law like that in place. All right,
correct.
Thank you very much for shedding a little light on that. So, one theater may be different from another theater. It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think most places like that are going to have some kind. You know, you go into a lot of businesses that have a sign that say that, and I think certainly most movie theaters are going to have that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's even ever feasible or practical for a movie theater to have a metal detector when you walk through the doors?
Wow, you know, that's I've never seen that, but
no.
It certainly is. You know, when you go to a lot of concerts and stuff, you have to walk through a metal detector.
Yeah, Chris Dim and I were talking about it. Unfortunately, if they do a bag check on you, they're going to find my Milk Duds. They're going to find my Whoppers.
Your bottle of water.
All that's my Chick-fil-A sandwiches. All of that stuff.
The last thing you want is a pat down.
Oh, God, no. They cannot do that. Let me give you this story, Lisa. This is our Lawyer Up segment. So there are three different legal stories that Lisa will get into today. I saw this one. Chris Dim saw it too last week. And I just want to smack this guy. His name's Paul Pelton. And he saw a fatal car crash. He's 41 years old. A couple of teenagers crashed the car. One of them actually died. But instead of doing anything to help, he got close to them, filmed what was going on inside the car, sort of interviewed them, even though they were, or asked them questions, went to the back seat, then the front seat, even though one of them was literally dying and the other was critically injured. And he then tried to put that out on social media, that kind of thing. And they really couldn't arrest him for anything except for misdemeanor charges. Now, a lot of folks have emailed me about this, and I said I think there should be a much stiffer penalty than this when you do something like that. All he did was put himself in the way of people trying to help, and he didn't even call 911 or anything. And in general, I thought he was a scum. However, he said he wanted to post that video to teach people that reckless driving can impact you, and this is how. What do you think? Why is that not more of a – can you make it a more serious penalty when you do something like this?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, there's only one state where you are required to give aid in a danger like this, in a situation like this, and that's Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
No other state requires any kind of rescue attempt, and really the only thing they could find to charge him here with was a trespassing on a crime scene kind of a charge. So, you know, if he interfered in any way with either the police or the EMS, then there are other laws that could have applied. He didn't exactly interfere, but he certainly trespassed, and he opened the tampering with the crime scene charge came because he opened the door on the car to get a better view of the victims. And he was definitely a real douchebag.
Yeah.
But there aren't any real penalties for this kind of thing, and it's just something that I think people, legislators in most states, are just afraid to impose any kind of a duty on people to give aid or to rescue people. It's just It's very much not the trend.
Can I ask you this too, Lisa? Is there some sort of reluctance, perhaps, in, let's say I happened upon an accident scene first, And I'm afraid that if I do something, I may make things worse and then be sued by the families of the deceased or the injured. Does that come into play at all?
Well, you don't really have to worry about that because the majority of states have Good Samaritan laws that protect people who try to get aid from any kind of lawsuit against them if they are negligent and somehow cause further harm.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I drag somebody who had a back injury and
hurt them,
paralyze this person, I'm okay.
You're protected.
I'm trying to help.
Yeah, as long as what you do isn't grossly negligent. Like, you can't do something that is just completely stupid, out of bounds. No reasonable person would do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that. But as long as what you're doing is, you can even be negligent. You can even be just, you know, you can accidentally harm the person through negligence. You just can't. If you harm the person through gross, wanton, reckless negligence, then you can get in trouble.
I find these terms troubling.
Me too.
And not very specific.
Me too.
Not very specific.
And what about Vermont? How's it working there where they force you to try and do something good?
Yeah, they have a Good Samaritan law as well.
Wow.
So, but yeah, there is a legal duty in Vermont to give aid.
I will remember that. If ever I go to Vermont, I will remember
Don't
that.
Visit Vermont. Got it.
You can visit the Ben and Jerry's factory.
But if somebody,
they got that at Harris Teeter.
Right. I don't need to go there because if somebody's choking on a pistachio nut or something, I don't know what I can do. You know what I always do is go the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's another interesting story today. This is from Ohio. A woman got a ticket last year when she left her pickup truck parked for more than 24 hours. She got a parking ticket. She researched the law she broke and said that certain types of vehicles are allowed to park for more than 24 hours. And she also got much more into it and found that there was some sort of a mistake in grammar on the ticket they gave her. It says on her ticket that any motor vehicle, camper, trailer, farm equipment, or non-motorized vehicle is not allowed to park for more than 24 hours. And she said there should have been a comma separating motor vehicle and camper, but since there was no comma, she should get out of the ticket, and they let her. She was allowed to do that. So if the punctuation is not just right on a ticket, can I get out of some of these as well, Lisa?
You can if it changes the meaning, which it did here. They left out the comma. They meant to say motor vehicle, comma, camper, so you could not park either a motor vehicle or a camper.
Right.
But they left out the comma. So, motor vehicle camper, she did not own it. She had a truck. She did not have a motor vehicle camper. And so, the construction of laws and the application of laws like this by judges, there's a rule called the plain meaning rule.
Mm.
And judges have to follow it. It says, whatever the words say, you have to apply that plain meaning. You can't come in and say, well, but the lawmakers really intended something else.
Right. Hmm. So I bet a lot of people have just paid their fine, of course, and this woman did the work, did the research, and winds up getting out of it.
Yeah. So the judge had no choice. The judge had to apply the plain meaning of the words, and so now it's up to the lawmakers who created this and had this mistake to go back and fix this. And it's actually there's actually a plain meaning issue that was the reason. There was a drafting error in the Affordable Health Care Act, in the Obamacare law, that allowed the appeal that took the case all the way up to the Supreme Court. There was out of a 900-page document, there were four words that were a drafting error, and that's what actually allowed it to be appealed.
Really?
Huh.
Some intern messed it up.
Somebody messed it up.
Leaves out a comma, and that's it. Interesting, and it worked for this woman anyway in Ohio. And the last story today, we talked about it yesterday, deals with butt dialing. I'm always surprised how many criminals accidentally butt dial, especially 911, and then talk about their crime. It happens quite often. Where somebody's just done a drug deal, they got their phone in their pocket, they butt dial 911 and say, hey man, that was a great drug deal we just did over here at the corner of Jefferson Avenue and Elm Street. So tell us, now a court has said, you do not have the right to privacy when you butt dial someone. So if you accidentally call somebody and admit to a crime, that is not protected under law. Are you a little surprised by this? I was when I read it. I don't know why, but I just felt like that you would be protected. You are not.
Well, it kind of falls into an area between two bodies of law that is somewhat of a gray area. So most states and federal law allows for recording of a telephone conversation as long as at least one party to the telephone conversation knows it's being recorded.
Right.
So here, he initiated a call to this woman, and so she knew she was recording it, and so that would sort of fall under that law and make this okay. But then, federal wiretapping laws, as well as most state laws, say that you cannot record the conversation of other people that you're not a party to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would make it seem, well, you know, she wasn't actually conversing with these people. They accidentally dialed her, so she was recording someone else's conversation.
Right.
So that would seem to make it illegal. So it kind of falls in between those two things. But here the court said, you know, he initiated the call. He could have taken steps on his phone to prevent butt dialing. So the court said that as far as his conversation went, she didn't do anything wrong. But they did say that she was wrong to record his wife who came into the conversation.
Yeah, it was a long conversation that she recorded.
Yeah.
And so
it was hours.
Yeah, and it wound up being a real convoluted case. But anyway, if you're recorded, when you butt dial, you're out. You don't get any protection over that. It's interesting.
Yeah, you should set your phone. Yeah, be careful how you set your phone.
Yeah.
I had a funny story from a colleague who he was settling a really big case. He was a young lawyer at the time, and he was settling this huge case with this very stodgy, conservative, old school lawyer who you would never want to do anything except act completely somber with.
Mm-hmm.
And he was driving down the road. He had just called the guy, so the guy was in his phone, you know, as the last number, and he accidentally hits the call again. And he doesn't know it, but he goes into the guy's voicemail. And it just so happens that he's on a long trip, and he's listening to Mary Chapin Carpenter, and he's singing Passionate Kisses at the top.
I love that song.
And then he hears, you've reached the maximum recording length.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. Oh, no. It cost him the business. It cost him the client. how funny. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris show, has solved these cases, has given us the gun laws, and has given us Passionate Kisses today during Lawyer Up. Lisa, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much, as always.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye. Find her online now. She's at LanierLawGroup.com. She is president there. If you have any kind of legal needs, it's the first place you should go.